Hello, and welcome to Life Matters, the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. We're honored to host a variety of guests within the pro-life movement, each bringing their own unique perspectives, experiences, and backgrounds. The views and opinions expressed by our guests do not necessarily reflect those of Life Matters, Assure Women's Center, or our affiliates. Our goal is to foster open, thoughtful dialogue around life-affirming issues and equip listeners to stand for life.
Welcome to Life Matters. I'm Toni Clark with Assure Women's Center. Today we're talking about trauma, hope, and restoration, especially how past experiences like abuse, homelessness, incarceration, or abortion can shape a woman's life, and how God can redeem even those painful chapters. I'm joined by two remarkable women who minister right here in the middle of those realities. Candace Gregory, President and CEO of Open Door Mission, and Ashley Belmudez-Frakes, a chaplain with Good News Global. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today.
Thank you.
Candace, many people know you through Open Door Mission, but tell us a little about your personal story. What experiences shaped your heart for people facing homelessness and poverty?
Well, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here and just to be able to be with other women who are like-minded, who love Jesus and love others.
Absolutely.
I feel very honored and humbled. You know, Toni, God called me to the inner city here of Omaha, not to Africa or to Mexico to dig a well, but right here. And God's timing is everything. Mm-hmm. I thought I'd be here 1 year. Mm-hmm. I came to help my predecessor, Pastor Bob Timberlake, design programs for women and children. And I thought I'd go back to my life and an affluent life in business. And God had other plans, and I'm so glad he did. Mm-hmm. I met my husband at the mission. Small disclaimer, he wasn't a guest. He was on the men's side of the ministry, and God brought us together. He's blessed us with four beautiful children who love Jesus and others. Three are married. They've blessed us with four grandchildren.
Oh, wow.
And Steve and I get to serve the Lord together.
Yeah.
And, you know, what started as just a small passion to empower others has turned into a lifetime of ministry.
That's good. That's good. Ashley, how about you? What's your story?
Great question. Thank you as well. Thank you for having us. And, you know, both of us, it's an honor to be here, actually.
Thank you.
My path into chaplaincy wasn't one from having everything figured out and getting it together. It's actually through lived experience. Mm-hmm. I've had trauma, loss in seasons where I had very little control. Mm-hmm. And I had to completely surrender to God. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until during my internship that I had a conversation with someone who was incarcerated. And at that moment, she prayed and asked God to show her a sign. And if he was real, bring someone. Mm-hmm. And I was that person.
Wow.
And at that moment, that was a turning point for me for that. But one of the things was, for me, early on with women in correction settings, I realized that many women felt invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And long before I ever entered the jail in this role, mm-hmm. other ways that way, but they've survived abuse.
Yeah.
They've instability. They had fear, silence for years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I personally have walked through that.
Yeah.
Sexual trauma and reproductive loss. I've understand how complex that can be and how painful those experiences are. And so that doesn't define me. And that's actually helped shaped who I am and my compassion, my deep compassion for these women.
Yeah.
And chaplaincy actually allows me to walk with them through this. And even in the hardest places that they can be in, and it reminds them. And I get to be part of that where I get to listen and how they feel like they're not forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
But God has not abandoned them and part of their story, and that it's not over. And that's where that met that road.
Good, good.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting how I would say I fall into the same boat. I never thought, you know, it was a career progression to end up at Assure as executive director, but we just made ourselves available.
Yeah.
And God uses our lives, our backgrounds, our histories or whatever to bring glory to his plan and his purpose. And so thank you, ladies, for answering the call and saying yes to the Lord and allowing him to put you in those positions where you're helping not just women, but just people that need God's help, you know, needs God's favor and grace.
We blossom where we're planted, ladies.
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. So you both see people as some of the hardest points in life. When you hear Jesus' words about the least of these, what does that mean to you personally?
You know, it's interesting because over the years, the face of homelessness and poverty has changed drastically. Yeah. And I think for our community, they think of the least of these as a man.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
yet the largest population of those experiencing homelessness are women and children.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other populations that are within the homeless population that are segregated, such as veterans. Mm-hmm. And then our growing population is actually seniors that are what we consider cash dry, but asset heavy.
Yeah.
They've worked all their life. They've lived in their homes. Mm-hmm. They come in for homeless prevention resources. So they're not mm-hmm. experiencing homelessness yet.
Yeah.
But they are spending so much on medications or they're raising grandchildren yeah. because mm-hmm. their children are incarcerated mm-hmm. and or struggling with addiction or another social issue. And the reasons why people are experiencing homelessness and poverty are so diverse. Mm-hmm. It looks differently, but there's no new sin under yeah. the sun.
Yeah.
And we may mm-hmm. talk about it more boldly and we may be more vocal about it. And but we see it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah. So to me, the least of these are people whose dignity, I think, has been overshadowed because of their circumstance. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's been incarcerated, yeah. Trauma, poverty, or just shame.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's beautiful that I can say Jesus reminds us that no one's defined by their worst moment.
Yeah.
And that showing up faithfully, what we try to do, and consistently is one of the most powerful things that we can really reflect the heart of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think of when I hear to the least of these.
Yeah. I say it as sure, you know, obviously when you hear the term least of these, people automatically think about that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, that is true. But I also think about that mom who thinks she doesn't have any other choice. She's the one. We honestly can't reach that baby until we reach her. And so we don't know the circumstances that she's dealing with. Quite often it may be something that, you know, that's in your area of expertise that is leading her to services here at Assure as well.
Yeah.
So the least of these could be just a variety of people and situations and circumstances.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Candace, the Open Door Mission has been such a strong presence in our community. What are some of the programs or stories that most inspire you right now?
You know, over the years, you have a flame for certain programs more so than others. We offer 40 programs for free in our community. One of our newest programs is our expanded parenting program. Mm. And I am probably most excited about the fruit from that because we found that in Douglas County, we had a huge rate of death in infants.
Mm.
And we narrowed down through a focus group that a lot of it was lack of education, lack of knowledge. And so we started talking to parents of children under the age of 12 months about back to sleep, no co-parenting, no watering the baby bottles under 6 months. And we saw a huge difference in that 26,000 number of households that we serve. And of course, the other program that I'm passionate about, I'm passionate about all of them. My staff would be like, what? Just that? No. I'm passionate about anything that leads someone to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, because His Word and the Holy Spirit are life-changing for eternity. Our New Life Recovery Program continues to be seeing such changes in men, women, and families that is breaking the cycle of homelessness and poverty for generations. Mm-hmm. And that for me is so rewarding. It's like that shot in the arm you need to keep going.
Yes, absolutely. That's good. Ashley, what does a typical day of ministry look like for you inside the correctional facilities?
Well, good question. Two days are the same.
Yeah.
Especially because I serve across 3 different facilities. Mm-hmm. Each one has like its own rhythm and challenges. So I have to be flexible. Mm-hmm. And that's very essential, especially within those 3. It's not only about incarcerated women. We actually also serve time supporting our correctional officers and the staff and sheriff, and depending on the facility that I'm at. So they also carry a tremendous emotional and spiritual weight as well. And so they need care too. Yeah. So it's not just incarcerated. But some days we do Bible studies. We have prayer. Other days are spent with like someone if they have some kind of crisis or emergency situation, inmate or staff. Difficult news, mm-hmm. a heart incident maybe. Much of it is being a chaplain is simply listening.
Yeah.
And being present without trying to fix someone or fix something.
Yeah.
But hope actually enters the environment through consistency, like I said before. And when people see someone who is consistent and they show up faithfully, that actually starts to remind them that God is still present, even in the hard places. And that's why like ministries like you guys with the Assured Women's Center are so important.
Yeah.
And they provide the same kind of like safe, consistent presence for women who are carrying deep pain and need a place to heal. And that's kind of how our day looks.
Yeah, good. Changes every day.
Every day.
Yeah. You know, at Assured Women's Center, we often meet women who are overwhelmed, scared, or carrying deep pain from the past, sometimes abuse, loss, or previous abortion. How does trauma typically show up in the lives of the women you encounter?
That's heavy.
Yeah. Very.
Heavy, heavy. Mm. You know, unfortunately, we can't be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
But we at the Open Door Mission love our neighbors really well, and we meet their basic needs, Tony. And so I think for us, when we meet people where they're at and they start to feel safe, they actually can talk about some of their trauma. Yeah. And that's where our mental behavior health comes in. That's where our free health and wellness clinic, our case managers. But we need partners like you.
Yeah.
Because along the way, when people do start to feel safe, you start to talk about some deep things.
Yeah.
And it could be from a miscarriage. It could be from an abortion. It could be a loss from the past that rears its ugly head as you start to become sober, clean, and healthy. And other times when women come to us, 50% are victims of domestic violence and they are pregnant. And because of the situation they're in, they are like, how do I get rid of this situation I'm in? Because they see that I can't provide for myself. And that's why we need partners who are trained with the right words, with the right resources and tools. And that's why we're so grateful that we do have Assure, that we can refer our guests that are experiencing homelessness or that are living in poverty to the right door to receive those.
That's good.
You know, ours usually show up for trauma. They're more of on a survival, anger, you know, emotional numbness is what I do see. Like they don't have control or their withdrawal. But there is a lot of deep shame that I've come across. They don't even realize, honestly, they don't realize how traumatized that they really are. And because they don't see how pain has actually become normal. It becomes normalized to them. And incarceration, it actually can slow that down for them enough for the any kind of unresolved trauma to finally surface.
Yeah.
And so that's what I do see.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Candace, you talked about we can't be all things to all people. And I so agree with that. And it is so important to have referrals. I tell people if there's something that we can't do, we have a referral.
Absolutely.
I have a huge database of people that are doing things better in the community that we can't do and we're willing to refer.
I so agree, Tony. We can't be everything to everyone.
Yeah.
And it's not my expertise.
Right.
And it's okay to say that.
Yes.
And it's okay if the only time it's not okay for me is if I can't find a partner who puts Jesus first.
Yes.
Then I'm going to have to do something. Yes. But if I have a partner that's their expertise, then they need to be my best friend.
Yes.
Because it's best for the people I serve.
Correct.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. We had a patient just recently showed up at one of our offices, and she's pregnant. She had a 3-year-old with her. She had no place to go. Boyfriend put her out. She didn't even have a car seat. I don't even know how she got to the center.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things we were like, okay, we can get her a hotel for tonight, but what do we do with her now? That's not our area of expertise. That knew the right Bible-believing, faith-based person to call. And then we were able to help her. And that's what it's about, being able to partner with each other to help those in our community that we needed.
Yes, that's right.
So grateful for that.
Well said.
Life Matters is the program where we engage life issues with critical thinking and a biblical worldview, and it is a ministry of Assure Women's Center. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today.
Welcome back to Life Matters. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with Candace Gregory, President and CEO of Open Door Mission, and Ashley Belmutis Frakes, a chaplain with Good News Global. What are some barriers that keep women from seeking help or believing that healing is even possible?
Oh, Satan's a father of lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has this Rolodex in our heads that tells us we're not worthy.
Yeah.
We are you know, not able to have the courage, that we have to live in fear. Mm-hmm. And I think too, when you have had trauma upon trauma, just experiencing homelessness is trauma itself, but yeah. they've had a whole bunch of baggage before they got to my door. Yeah. And I think that when you start to meet people's physical needs, God opens a door to meet people's spiritual needs. But I just don't want to have people with fire insurance. I want them to be fulfilled in Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's where all the other training and of course, getting them planted in a local church
yeah.
where they can be surrounded by people who are healthy and a mentor, where they can find places of growth yeah. in their walk with Jesus. Mm-hmm. I mean, God wants us to be fulfilled.
Absolutely.
And we want that for our guests.
Mm-hmm.
But the bondage is real.
Oh, it absolutely is.
Yeah. I like how you said about walking with them, because I think for those that are incarcerated, one of the areas that's a huge barrier is we have all these resources and organizations, but where are they
mm-hmm.
in the facility with me? Where are they coming in to help? Where are they? And for our women, they deal with shame. Mm-hmm. Shame is also one of the biggest barriers.
Yeah.
Because many of them actually do believe that their past disqualifies them, and that's they're completely gone from grace. And I feel like they have that fear of being judged.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Especially with there's women who come in who have faith.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That also keeps them silent right. as well. But I noticed that one part of the barriers healing often becomes, or at least it begins, where I'm at in incarcerated women. When they feel safe enough to actually tell
yes.
the truth.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said about that. I'll often say, you know, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And once you talk about it once, yeah. then he can't go back and say, nobody yeah. know. Well, guess what? I told him myself.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I think there's something to be said about that when they're in a place, unfortunately, maybe, you know, in a correctional facility mm-hmm. where they are able to just take time, pause, get to a safe place where they can begin to talk about those things. I think God can bring, and I know he does bring healing even through that because
yeah.
they're able to learn how to talk about it, learn how to respond to it, and learn how to be healed in that area.
Yes.
That's good. Good. We often see it and assure that abortion trauma can surface years or sometimes even decades later. And it might be triggered by another pregnancy or a loss or even just seeing an ultrasound image. Have you seen similar patterns of delayed trauma in your work?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
50% of our team at the Open Door Mission have lived experience.
Mm.
And just because you become a believer doesn't mean that there's a insulated wall around you.
Yeah.
Things are going to rear its ugly head when you mm-hmm. stuff them down. And we have seen people, as you said, Tony, have had decisions that they've made as young adults,
mm-hmm.
and they may have been a victim in circumstances that are unbeknownst to their control.
Yeah.
And as they get healthier and as God is using them, yeah. isn't that when Satan attacks?
Yep.
And I see that regression
yeah.
sets in and it's so easy to slip
yeah.
and go back into old behavior yeah. to deal with the hurt mm-hmm. and to deal with the guilt and to deal with the shame. Mm-hmm. And that's when we as Christians, you know, sometimes we are not forgiving. We become very yeah. judgmental.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember the same grace that God offers to us,
mm-hmm.
we need to offer to others.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'd say yes very often. I'd like to go back to like defining what trauma is.
Okay.
And you know, that's intense fear.
Yeah.
You feel helplessness and horror.
Mm-hmm.
And because that trauma doesn't just disappear just because time passes.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, it's going to surface when a woman actually feels safe enough to feel like we discussed before.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, pregnancy, loss, confinement, or even homelessness, like you were talking. But even a conversation can reopen wounds
yeah.
like years later. And I find that, especially being in the jail system with corrections, you find that it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And so silence doesn't actually mean for them healing.
Mm-hmm.
It actually means for them that pain hasn't had a place to go yet.
Yeah.
And so that I see very often.
Well, you know, one of the things that we're starting to see or that's not talked about, one of the side effects for abortion is sometimes incarceration. So, maybe there's just other things that have happened in lives that end up incarcerated. Are you all seeing the same thing that perhaps whether they're homeless or whether they're incarcerated, that those that you serve have had abortions in the past and that is kind of leading them to need your services as well?
Absolutely. It all compounds together. It's hard to pick out of the air which social issue.
It's called what?
Yeah. I wish it was that easy, Tony, because wouldn't we be able to resolve the issues?
Yes.
Like of why those poor decisions were made? I mean, we can all say, oh, it was because of this generational, or this is how I was raised, or this happened to me. But there comes a time when we have to own it.
Yeah.
And we have to do something about it.
Right.
And so often we see that it just is compounded on top of each other. But, there's so much freedom in Christ.
Oh.
But it doesn't happen overnight.
Right.
We have people that become new believers, but they're still broken.
Yeah.
They have brokenness.
Yes.
And so I think sometimes we get to this place that we think, oh, it's all going to, it's fixed. There we go. We accepted Jesus as our Savior. He's healed us. And we're good now. Mm-hmm. No, because all the trauma is still there.
Right.
And, again, God heals us from the inside out. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, there's about 18 inches from our heart to our head. And so it takes a little bit longer. Mayo Clinic, we just did a study with them. And we thought recovery and relapse, of course, is part of recovery. But we thought, that's about, a 36-month to 5-year process. Mm-hmm. They're saying, no, take a step back. Mm-hmm. This is a 7-year process mm-hmm. for the heart and the brain. Mm-hmm. And they've got all this study mm-hmm. about how we think. And we are complex beings.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking when you said new believers that still have trauma. I think there's some old believers that have trauma. Like you said, it's
stuffing. Stuffing. We are the great performers.
Absolutely.
We are great. I mean, if you meet a good performer, don't worry. There's someone else that can outperform them. Mm-hmm. And when I see performers, I think, there's something going on there.
Yeah.
And so, and I hope for us that we can be vulnerable and transparent in a safe place because that's when trauma is dealt with. Yes. When we can find an accountability group or a safe woman's group or that we can actually be honest with ourselves and others, that's when Satan can have no more control over us.
Completely agree. Yeah. I agree with that because, almost always, going to your question, abortion's rarely an isolated event.
Absolutely.
It's often connected, like what we talked about, fear, mm-hmm. coercion, abuse, poverty, or feeling completely alone, mm-hmm. Because you do feel alone in these kind of situations. But like we talked about, when women can actually have that mm-hmm. space to really reflect, mm-hmm. then they can realize that pain. And then it's never just about that one moment.
Yeah.
And they have that time to do that. And especially if you have the resources and you're able to have that room to be able to speak freely and feel safe, then it's more abundantly in trauma. And it starts to kind of pop its head up. And then you're like, oh, mm-hmm. how do I deal with that?
Yeah.
And then now you have all these things you got to start dealing with.
I'm going to just throw a plug in here. This is where we need the body of Christ. We can't do it all together, all by ourselves. We can't minister to every young lady who's had an abortion ourselves. You can't, minister to every person that's been in car.
Right.
We need the body of Christ. We need people to come alongside us and volunteer and help and pray because we can't do what we do without the body of Christ.
Be available and equipped in the church. Mm-hmm. Because if you think the pews are not full mm-hmm. of people who've been incarcerated, who've had abortion, who've experienced homelessness, you are misled.
Yes. I've got to jump on that. You have to be transparent. We talked about a minute ago, because that transparency is, you're going to feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Women will feel comfortable saying, hey, I can relate to you.
Yeah.
You understand where I'm at. And we're not judging at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when that starts.
Absolutely. We have to create an environment where people feel like they can share what they need to share without being judged.
Correct.
In a safe place so that they can get healing.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Wow. Can you each tell me about what ministries or programs you offer to help women overcome trauma?
We actually have trauma-informed care at our facility, so our staff are trained in trauma-informed care. We actually have been really proactive. A few years ago, we started having an architect come in and look at our facilities to make sure that we were using color and texture and designs that were trauma-informed care, because we were overlooking color. Believe it or not, that plays a big part.
Yeah.
And so that's been big for us. And of course, we, after COVID, expanded our behavior mental health department. Mm-hmm. And we went from having one LMHP to having now six LMHPs and a certified alcohol drug addiction counselors, because you cannot push people through grief.
Yeah.
It's a wheel that is different for everybody.
Yeah.
And as they become safer and develop relationships within the case management, the behavior health, the mental health, that's where it comes out to be. And it's, I have to say, you know, we are unique, the three of us, because we are offering Christ-centered programming.
Yeah.
That's not the case for every woman that does not have exposure to that. Mm-hmm. And there's such a big difference, because you cannot possibly have the strength within to heal by yourself. And that's, wow. That is, I'm just taking a step back here and saying, Holy Spirit, I need to be proactive, and we need to address this at our Lydia House so that we can be ready for what is going to come through our door.
Yeah.
Please join us next week for part two of our interview with Candace Gregory and Amber Bermudez Frakes. Life Matters is an educational outreach resource of Assure Women's Center in Omaha, Nebraska. To learn more about the ministry of Assure, visit firststeptolife.com. That's firststeptolife.com. A group of generous partners has challenged Assure supporters to give $500,000 by May 29th. If that goal is reached, they will release an additional $100,000. Your gift today can help unlock this challenge and reach more women before the abortion industry does. Visit firststeptolife.com to give today. Thanks for listening to Life Matters. Join us again next week at the same time right here on Bot Radio Network.